Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad was committed to helping people understand and apply God's Word in their daily lives. Through Christian Worship Hour, his teaching still offers hope and guidance to our listeners. Here's a note from a viewer who shared, "I look forward to receiving the newsletter titled A New Song every month. It lifts me up and reminds me Jesus is always near and has never failed me, even though I have failed him. Many times I have felt Pastor Salem's sermons were prepared just for me." As we continue our study of the great I Am statements of Jesus, we turn to his words, "Before Abraham was, I am." May the Lord bless you as you listen.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekends come and we can all get together all over the world and worship this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about the great I Ams of Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. It's just a thrilling story, a thrilling scripture passage. And so I hope you can all stay with us, maybe call your friends. But we're looking at Psalm 91, where the psalmist writes, in beginning with verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're such a wonderful God. And when we have you, we fear no man or nothing. There can nothing befall us because we have you to help us through it. And no matter what the problem might be, you'll be by our side and you'll carry us through. Thank you, dear Jesus. Now we're praying in our service today, we'll bring many people to know you as their Savior, and it will comfort your people wherever they might be. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to sing for us a wonderful song, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place." God bless you, Jan.
Is enough.
And thank you, Jan. It brings back so many wonderful memories. This wonderful, wonderful Savior, Jesus. And that's all we need. Nothing more but Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. And I trust that all of you know him. And if you don't, you can receive him. Just stay with us. And we're going to be talking about opening a heart to the Lord. Well, before we get into our message, I want to read just some of the letters. Yeah, then you know what people are thinking, and I know what they're thinking, and maybe I can answer some in my sermons, or maybe some right here. But our first one is from Rapid City, South Dakota, right here in good old in South Dakota. And I was at Belfus, so we and I know Rapid City, about 55 miles away, and we used to play them in sports, and they beat us every time. So much for Rapid City. But this person writes and says, I've been tuning into your television broadcast this year, and I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I live alone, but I walk with Jesus now, and have opened my heart and soul to God through Jesus, and my life is whole. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Thank you for your work every Sunday for us sinners. May the Lord bless you and keep you in this ever-loving care. And so here's a person, they've accepted Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we're told, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away, all things become new, and you are a new person. Now, you've got the old nature yet. We'll have that till we meet Jesus, and then we'll be done with that. But we have a new nature, that it's a nature of Christ, and he helps us so we can live for him and enjoy him, and it's just the only way to travel. Praise the Lord. Here's Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they write, God bless all of you. I've watched for 2 years, and your sermons have helped me so much in my walk with Jesus. Keep going. Your work is so important. 67 years old, I'm 67 years old and was saved since I was 10 years of age. Love to you all. And so here the sermons are helped her because they're full of the Bible. If they were just saturated, I had an old professor in seminary, and he said, get all the Bible you can into your sermons. And that's why I do it, and I'll tell you why I do it. That's where the power is. That's where my authority comes from. If I preach the Bible, I can just say, this is the way it is, Buster, and that's it. And I don't have to apologize for anything, even when I ask for money. I don't ever apologize for asking money for the work of the Lord. And so know that this wonderful Savior helps us. Let me see. Here's Sun City Center, Florida. And may God bless you all in this ministry. You're helping so many. Those who are lost need to hear the true gospel, and those of us who are believers need to stay in God's word. And they got it just exactly right. We have to come to God and be saved, come to Jesus and be saved, and then we need to work with him and walk with him and read the Bible and get active for the Lord and go to church where they're preaching the Bible. And because God's got a work for you to do, for every one of us. Here's the Bronx, New York. I want to thank you for preaching your outreach. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, but I backslid and I was lost. I saw your program online and accepted Jesus into my heart. I wanted to reaffirm my faith. I've seen myself change, and now I have purpose in my life. Please pray for me that God may walk with me forevermore. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you accept Jesus, you're in the love of God, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you take him as your Savior, now you have to have that time when you ask Jesus to come into your life and take away your sins. And when you ask him to do that, and then you promise to serve him and turn from your evil ways, your old ways. We don't live the same old way. We live a new life. We get rid of the old things. And that's called repentance. And Jesus taught repentance. It means to turn from the old ways. walk with the new ways. And so this wonderful Lord loves us. And this is what we're told about the love of God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that means? When you're born again, when you accept Jesus, you can't be lost, can't lose your salvation. Now, just try to think of something that Paul doesn't cover in the love of God. We're never separated from that love of God. Here's Salem, Oregon, and they write and say, it means a lot to hear your closing each week. The Christian worshiper loves you, and Jesus loves you, and I love you. God bless us, everyone. I wait for that loving closer each week. I really feel your love looking right at me through the TV. Means a lot to a lonely guy in prison. Thank you. See you Sunday. Well, I can tell you this, my dear brother. When God says that he loved the world, he meant it. And he proved it by giving his son. And all of the people and the workers that we have on the Christian worship hour, we're doing this. We've been doing this now for over 40 years. And we do it because we love you and we want you to come to Jesus. We want to see you in heaven. And God knows I love you, for I've been preaching 75 years. You say 75 years. I'd think you'd be able to do better than you're doing now with 75 years. My stock answer is, Buster, you should have heard me when I started. I had more going out than coming in for a long time. And so it's all because of love. God loves you. We get it from God. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have the love of Christ in us, and it's genuine. It's not just some selling deal that we might have. Let's see. Here's Wichita, Kansas. And this person writes, I have been a member of your TV ministry for a while. The church I was attempting was becoming more political and spiritual and not necessarily that I agreed with. I appreciate your sermons that stick to the Bible. That's what I want to hear. Seems like every week you touch on something that was bothering me. And so here's what God is doing. We are to preach the Bible. Preach the word, and some of the churches aren't doing it. And so you go and you listen. And if you're not feeding on the word of God, you go where they're preaching the Bible. And don't support some of these pieces because they're nothing more than clubs or little get-togethers. But where the church, the purpose of the church is to be the custodian of God's word, to keep the word and preach the word. And if we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? And be sure you try to get into some church where you have people to love you and help you and you can support each other. And then here's a nice letter from Early, Texas. And they write and say, I have an assisted living facility in Early, Texas. Our residents love to watch the Christian Worship Hour every Sunday morning. The message is so simple to understand. My residents repeat the prayer asking for Christ to come into their lives and forgive their sins every week. God bless you for all your years of service for the Lord. That isn't that beautiful? And we have a lot of these assisted livings, retirement homes that do use our services, our messages for their sermon. And so now as far as accepting Jesus, you just need to accept him once. And then when we fail him, we ask him to forgive us those sins. But you can be born again once. And once you're born again forever. You're forever in the family of God and you're saved for eternity. And I just don't know a better message or a more wonderful message that I could possibly give. Let's see. Let me give one more here. I think we've got time. Schnappernish, Washington. Just a note to let you know how thankful I am for the Christian Worship Hour. You are all such an encouragement to me, as 86-year-old widow with some physical problems. The best part is how you all lift up Jesus, our wonderful Savior and friend. I'm so thankful for his love and willingness to suffer and die for a sinner like me. I have a school friend I grew up with in Minneapolis. She lives in Portland, Oregon. The last time I talked to her, she said she watches Pastor Salem from South Dakota on TV each Sunday morning. I said, oh, that's Pastor Salem. I listen to him too. God is good. My theme is love, and then she thanks God for his love and care. And so isn't that interesting? Here's some old friends from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and one's out in Oregon, and I don't just know where the other is. And they talk to each other, and they worship together with us. And that kind of brings them together. We hear so many people like that. They have, they call their friends, and they're listening to their friends, and it just ties them together. And another thing we have so many people, lots of people, and they write, and their spouse is taken. And they used to, together, they used to listen to the Christian Worship Hour. And then one is taken to heaven. And so then they can continue worshiping, and they think of their spouse. They're in heaven, maybe worshiping, I don't know, but in heaven, they're on earth, and they're all, both of them, part of the family of God. And someday, maybe soon, God will take all of us. We'll all be together with God in heaven if we have Jesus. Got to have Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, only through Jesus. And you say, oh, how do I do that? And I'm going to tell you how you do that. You just tell God, just tell Jesus, dear Jesus, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll take, come into my heart and take them away. And dear Lord, I'll forsake my sin the best I can. I'll live for you. And thank you, Jesus. You make that prayer. You're a child of God. And so if you make that prayer, write to us and we'll send you some literature. Write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And or if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. We get gifts all over the world from different parts of the world, and they can send it over the internet, and it comes to us in American currency, and we pay our bill. Now we have a little Bible study that we send out every month. This month, the Bible study is about a pastor's prayer for his people. What do I pray for my people? And that's a little study, and you'll see just what it is. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. And then if you want to, if you get to our little film, we have a film, 52 minutes, and it's the Heart of a Shepherd, and we set it on a free will offering basis. I'm going to give the address one more time. And before I give the address, I want to say this. We're a member of the international organization, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books so that you can count on every penny going exactly where it should go. Now you can write to us, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you pay as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from John chapter 8, and if you have your Bibles, you could turn to John chapter 8 and verse 51. And now Jesus is talking to the unbelieving Jews, and some were Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and all the rest of them, and they do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus is going to prove that point, and he's going to make his case. And they're going to be so angry at him, they're going to want to put him to death. But that's going to be the story. That's the great I ams of Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. So look at John chapter 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There's that I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. In our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for the church in Pakistan. Dear Lord, we thank you for this incident we have here, that Jesus Christ proclaimed to be this not only the Son of God, but he is God, and that he has all power and might. As God, he has all power and might, and that he can carry that name, I am, I am. And so we pray, Lord, that people everywhere will just open their hearts to the Savior, because he is God, and the only way to God is through God's Son, Jesus. Jesus says that he was the only way, and so we have to have come through Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that multitudes will come to Jesus today and just make the prayer of the penitent, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me, Jesus' sake. And then just have you open their heart to you and give their life to you. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church today all over the world, but especially in Pakistan. We read stories all the time of how their houses are burned, how their churches are burned, how the parents are separated sometimes, and some even put to death. Oh, God, our hearts just ache for them. And yet they never complain. They gladly do it. They could renounce your name. They could say they knew not God, and they could say that Jesus wasn't the Son of God, and they would go free, but they refuse to do it. They say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God, and they die for it. But so, Lord, help us to be that same way so that we don't budge an inch. You are God, and we all always proclaim, always worship you as God. So bless us in this service. Bless your people everywhere. And those who do not know you, those who are not your people, oh, may the Holy Spirit talk to them so multitudes will come. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank is going to sing now before I bring a message called It's Impossible. Thank you, Hank. Yes,
sir. If I could catch a rainbow, I'd do it just for you. I would share with you the beauty on the days that you are blue. I wish that I could fill your heart with love and peace, but these things are impossible for me. But Jesus did the impossible and open heaven up for you. He died to make it all possible. He rose so you would know that it's true. The one who was crucified made the sky so blue. Jesus did the impossible for you.
Jesus did the impossible
for you. God became a man to know what you go through.
Then he died on the cross to prove how much he loves you. And even though it's greater than you can understand, God made you a part of his plan. Jesus did the impossible and opened heaven up for you. He died to make it all possible. He arose so you would know that it's true. The one who was crucified made the sky so blue. Jesus did the impossible for you.
Jesus did the impossible
for you.
Thank you, Hank. That's exactly right. That's what the Bible teaches us. Jesus did the impossible. There was only one person in all the universe, in heaven and earth, that could pay for our sins. And that person had to be divine, it had to be God, and had to be man in one person. And there only was ever one person that way, and that was Jesus. Because Jesus is God forever and ever. There never was a time. He has no beginning. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so there has no beginning. He's always God. And yet he came and he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he took upon himself the form of a man, and he took on our human, and we took the flesh. Flesh without sin. So Jesus Christ is unique. There never was one like him, and there never will be another one like him again. He's God and he's man. And as God, man, in one person, he went to the cross. God cannot die, but as a man in the flesh, Jesus can die. And he shed his blood and died on the cross and was buried for 3 days and three nights. And then he was raised from the dead, and he did it because he loved us. And it was would be impossible for anybody else to do that. It has to be against the nature that we sin. You know, that's why we go take a, that's why the offering of the blood of bulls and goats, they had them all through the Old Testament. It never took away sin. It just covered it. Just covered it. And when Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood, then all of the Old Testament sins were forgiven. And all of us at the present time were sinned, and all in the future are paid for. He paid for the whole thing. As a matter of fact, none of us were alive when Jesus died for us. It was all in the future. And so this wonderful Savior, he did the impossible. What a wonderful Savior. And that's who we're talking about today. And he's given, and he points out that he is God by saying, in five and eight different places, he says, I am. And that was God's name. You remember when Moses was in the wilderness? He was for 40 years in the wilderness herding his sheep. And one day he sees the burning bush, and he goes to the burning bush and it says, take off your sandals. You're walking on holy ground. And that bush was burning but never burned up, just kept burning all the time. And then the voice out of the burning bush is God. And he says, told Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and set my people free. And Moses said, well, if I go, who will I say that sent me? And God says out of that burning bush, tell them, I am that I am. That's God's name, I am. So when Jesus uses the name I am, he's claiming to be God. And rightly so, because he is God. So we come to the first one, and he says, I am the bread of life. And he tells of how that he gives himself for the sins of the world, and people can come to Jesus. And then he's the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so we're all lost in darkness, and the dead. And the devil is the king of all the darkness, and his kingdom, he's the god of this age, and he has great power, and he has multitudes who are blinded to the things of God, and they're all in the kingdom of darkness. And then Jesus came. I am the light. I'm not of the darkness. I'm the light. And I saw the light when I was 10 years old. I was in the kingdom of darkness, but I saw Jesus. I don't mean that I saw him personally. I didn't hear voices, and I didn't hear lights and see lights or anything like that. When I accepted Jesus, we went to a country school, and a man came to that school named Vernon Egebroughton. He was from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and he preached the gospel. And if you want to be just a child of God, you have to come to Jesus. And he said, you just come up here and pray with me. And I went forward, and my two brothers, three of us, all of us are in our 90s now. We all accepted Jesus that same night at that schoolhouse. And the evangelist said, you just tell Jesus you're a sinner and ask him to come into your heart, take away your sin. And then you promise to turn from your sin. Jesus taught repentance. You just don't ask God to forgive you your sin, then you go out and live like a pig again. You make a change. See, Jesus taught repentance. That's to turn about play, about face. And we turn from our sins and walk with Jesus. And so that when Jesus talking about the I am, he's talking about being God. Now, he says in our study today, before Abraham was, I am. There are two statements tied with this I am. First, the first I am, Jesus made a statement about Abraham. And this is what he said. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the second statement is, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus prefaced this amazing statement by saying, verily, verily, I say unto you. And he puts the verilies to say, this is important. Pay attention. Now, and well, he might have wanted to tell us about the deity of Christ. And so he says, I want you to pay attention because I'm going to teach you something today, that there he is in the flesh. And he's about 33 years of age, about toward the end of his ministry now. And he is claiming himself divinity. He's claiming himself that he's the Son of God. Yes, that he himself was God himself. And at that point, the Pharisees took up stones and they were going to stone him because they understood exactly what he was saying. He was saying, I am God. And they thought, oh, he can't be the Son of God because he was a man among us. And they wouldn't receive him as the Son of God. And they took up stones. But he slipped away. He wasn't hiding. He just left. And they couldn't lay a hand on him because the time for his death hadn't come yet. But when the time for his death had come, and so we'll have to be that wonderful Savior. So Jesus lived before Abraham lived. That's what this means. The statements were so crystal clear that he cannot possibly come up with any other result. He says, before Abraham, that is, before Abraham was brought into being, I exist. I was in existence when Abraham came into being. Not that Jesus Christ came to existence before Abraham did, but Jesus Christ never came into existence because he always was. And there never was a time he wasn't. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. Are you God? We got a little, we've got a little brain here. God is we're finite. God is infinite. You will never understand God. And I don't know we will when we get to heaven. I think we will, but I don't know if we will or not. But I know we sure don't in the flesh down here. So Jesus is saying, Jesus Christ always was. Abraham came into being, but Jesus Christ always was. Not only then, but it is that Jesus preceded Abraham, but he preceded all things, the earth included. So you could say before Abraham, before Noah, before Abel, before Adam, before creation, before the foundations of the world, before any and all of these things, Jesus existed. Jesus was because he's God. In the big, for instance, in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we're told before in the beginning was the Word, and that's Jesus Christ. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, you might get some book that has, though they leave those verses out. The cults, the ones that want to deny this truth, they leave this out. But if you want a real translation, this is what it says. It just says, before there was a world, a universe, a galaxy, before there was anything, there was God, and Jesus Christ was there because he was God and is God. So before there was nothing, there was God, and Jesus Christ was there, for he is God. You cannot comprehend that. I cannot comprehend that, but it is true just the same. So the great name, I Am, denotes a God who is personal, a God who is self-existent, a God that is eternal, a God that is independent of his creatures, a God that is self-identical, a God that is self-revealing and gracious. That name means that he's changeless in his purpose. He's faithful in his promises. He's able to fulfill his promises absolutely without any question about it. You will notice that God did not say, I was, as though God had died, but I am. I am alive forevermore. Jesus took that name, the name of God, to himself, and the Pharisees knew exactly what he was saying. Then Jesus goes on to say, Jesus appeared to Abraham in his day, but when Abraham was here, that Jesus in his pre-incarnate form came and Abraham saw him. That's what he says. He rejoiced to see my day and was glad. That means that Jesus Christ appeared to Abraham in his pre-incarnate form. That form had before, he took upon himself the form of a man, that is flesh and blood. So before he was born of Mary, he has this encounter with Abraham in Abraham's day. He just doesn't have that. He's still God, but he doesn't have that human body that he's going to take on to him at Bethlehem on that Christmas Eve, first Christmas Eve. That form he had before, he took upon himself the form of a man, the flesh and the blood. That hadn't happened yet, but he did appear because he existed and he could come and go as he pleased. For instance, Abraham saw Christ when he was about to offer him as his son, offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God. Isaac was bound and placed on the altar. You remember the story in Genesis. The sacrifice was ready, and Abraham, in obedience to God, was ready to offer him up. That is, he would take his life, and he was just about to take his life, and then it was that an angel of God appeared and pointed out a ram caught in a thicket, and that ram was a substitute for Isaac, and the ram died in Isaac's place. So there was a sense in which Isaac died, for in Adam's heart he meant to do just that, take his life and expect him to raise him from the dead. As far as Abraham was concerned, it was already done. But he stopped at that last moment, and the son was spared, and a substitute took his place, so that Isaac, coming from the altar, was coming from the place of death. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus, who would die for the sins of the world and then be raised from the dead. In Jesus' case on the cross, there was no substitute, and Jesus paid for us all. Abraham named the place then, after this had taken place and the ram was slain and the boy was alive, he named the place of sacrifice Jehovah Jireh, which means it shall be seen. What did Abraham really see that day long ago on Mount Moriah? What did he mean when he said, "It shall be seen"? He meant he had seen Jesus Christ in the figure of that ram, in that substitute for Abraham, for Isaac. And so we have to be careful when you read these things. Study the word and see what it is. And so Jesus could say, "Before Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So Abraham saw Jesus pictured in the Old Testament, and there probably were other pictures. But we learn from this, Jesus Christ is declaring, "I am God Almighty." And he's picturing it in the death and the resurrection and the death of Isaac, of the ram. And so Jesus said, "I am," and that reveals to him the uncreated, eternal, self-existent God is independent of time and material conditions, all of the rest. He is God, and he brings this to pass. And this name, "I am," is using the name of the Almighty. And so when we look about this, we'll study. You remember how he first used this man name, God's name, first given to us in Moses. And then he has the burning bush, and he has told us, "Here is this Lamb of God, and this, I want you to be this, and I want you to do this, and my name is going to be I Am." When you come to the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter, you read about this wonderful creation, this coming of Christ and born of Mary, and how in these last days, God is with us, but it is God Almighty. He writes, "By God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Unto his Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid thy foundation of the earth and the heavens and the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all become old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them, and thou shalt be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years fail not." No, so the sacrifices that declare and the scriptures declare that Jesus Christ is God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There can be no question in the mind of the Father in heaven of that Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, is God. And the Pharisees, as I've said before, understood exactly what he was saying, and they called it blasphemy, and they wanted to put him to death. And so they took up stones to cast at him. And John 8:59. But when Jesus hid himself, he went about from the temple and went through the midst, and they didn't touch him because Jesus isn't going to die till he's good and ready, until his time comes, and that's come shortly. They took up stones. They knew what Jesus was saying. They knew what he was claiming. They could not refute his argument. They couldn't argue it down or stand to him. And so they resorted to the throwing of stones. Throwing of stones is like profanity. It's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of defeat. It means that when they are beaten, when they are defeated, there is no rebuttal. And they turned their stone throwing or their cursing. They are like the people of that today. They don't have a case and they don't know it. So they curse or they throw stones, but they don't face the facts. And God help on their poor souls, that they better get straightened with life, because there's only one, this one God. Jesus moved from among them and went to teach and work out his ministry. And no man harmed him because his time hadn't come. And they want to put him to death, but they can't put him to death until he allows it. He tells us in John 10:17-18, "I lay down my life, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to receive it from my Father. Jesus' time had not yet come, so they couldn't do a thing about it. But he is God, and he won't, and he'll set the schedule, and he'll take it just exactly the way he wants it. And so what lessons do we learn from Abraham when we look about this story? Well, never simply this, never doubt God. Never doubt God. Don't question God. You may not understand what God is doing, but never doubt him. Never question him, but just take him at his word. That's what Abraham did. He lived by faith, and he went to that place where he was going to sacrifice his son, but he stood firm to God. And then remember, too, like Abraham, we need to revel in God's presence. He says that this wonderful God, he never slumbers nor sleeps. This wonderful God has told us he would never leave us or forsake us. And it doesn't matter what you come in, it doesn't matter what the problem might be, this wonderful God is there. And I think so many times of people, they question God. I got a letter just recently, and they wanted to know why God had the right to do such and such a thing. And we don't have the right to even say what. The only thing we can say is when we come to things in our life we can't understand, what we pray is, dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, what do you want me to see? What are you teaching me? What do you want me to get? You don't say, why did you do that? Or show me why this makes sense. Or show me why I should do this or that, the other. Oh, no. What you need to do is just say, dear God, I don't understand this. And there are things in my life I don't understand. And I probably won't understand till I get to heaven. But when I get to heaven, I'll see it all makes sense. He was right, just exactly right. And that's what Abraham did. He never questioned God. And then Abraham comes along, and he tells us he goes to Mount Moriah. And as you read the story, it tells about how that they're going up the mountain. And Isaac says to him, because Isaac is a young man now, maybe could have been 20 years old. And Abraham is going to have to put him on the altar and tie him, put the cords on him so he can take his life as a sacrifice. And then Abraham's carrying the fire, and the boy asks, he says, I see the fire and the knife, but where is the wood for the offering? And where is the offering? And again, Abraham says, God will provide his offering. And that means that Abraham believed that he would go to sacrifice that boy, and that God was going to raise him from the dead after he sacrificed him. That was his faith. He never doubted God. He didn't ask why or how to go or anything else. He just went and gave as God led him. And so Jesus Christ has the power. He has the power to do to all things, except when he went to the cross, there was no substitute. When he went to the cross, the Father had to take the life of his Son, because there was no place that it could be no substitute for Christ, his sacrifice, that wonderful sacrifice. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. And Jesus died, but was raised the third day. And now he comes to us and he says that he has done this because he loved us. And he says, I want to give you eternal life. And if I give you eternal life, I'll hold it. Well, let me read it. He says in John chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so he's wanting to save us. He wants us to come to him, and then he'll take us, and we'll see that. And we're told Abraham, look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking for. And we're going to see that day. And Paul says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. And that's just be like Abraham, just contemplating. Let us do the same thing. We're looking forward. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to be with heaven. But there's only one way. Jesus said, I am that way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. And how is he the way? You just come to Jesus, say, dear Jesus, talk to him. Just talk to him in your own words. I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, dear Lord, to come into my heart and take away my sins. Wash them all away. And Lord, I'll forsake my sins. And I'll live for you the best I can. And then thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I thought when I accepted Jesus, I made that prayer. And I thought if I could just wouldn't get mad at those cows, at the milk cows, I got mad at them. If I could control my temper, then I'd be perfect. Well, I found out a long time ago, I'm not perfect. Because the more you know about Jesus, you see perfection. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll see how your imperfections, and you need Jesus. You have to have Jesus. And so when you accept the Lord, our sins are washed away and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then we'll walk along and we commit sins. We may be jealous. We may be envious. Could be a thousand different things. And that breaks our fellowship, not our relationship. We're his child. Your son can do anything he wants. He's still your son. But the fellowship can be broken. And so we pray that Jesus will just forgive us for our sins. And I've had to pray that 1,000 times or many, many more. I don't know, in 98 years. But every time I realize, God will put it on my heart, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You should have done this, something. And the Lord just guides us along. But I have that wonderful joy, that wonderful peace. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to see heaven. I am going to be perfect because he's going to make me perfect when I get to heaven. And that's exactly why we have the Christian Worship Hour. We want you to come to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what your sins might be, because I get letters all the time. And they'll say, oh, if you knew what my sins were, they were so terrible, God would never forgive me. I knew they were wrong. I knew I shouldn't have done it. I did it anyway. God will forgive that. God says all your sins, doesn't matter how many they are, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is greater than all of our sins, and you can find that wonderful salvation. So we're praying that many of you never accepted Jesus. You do that. Some of you may have drifted away. Maybe it's been a long time since you were walking with the Lord, and you got way off the line. You can come back. Like the prodigal son, when he came back, the father was waiting for him, and he held his arms open to him, and he took his son back. And he was still his son. He hadn't been his son, but he had no fellowship with him, see. And when his son came back from sinning, going and drifting away, he came back, and then God forgave him those sins, and the fellowship was restored. You see sometimes that in a marriage, and you'll say something sharp and about your spouse, and that fellowship is broken. And you tell you're sorry that you said that. You shouldn't have done it. And you make up, see, and that's beautiful. That's what you have to do. And then you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to have the little new song, get that. If you want the film, you can get that. Just send us a gift if you can. And all of you, be sure to write. And if you can help us financially, have to have your help. You know what God tells us? You have not because you ask not. And so all of our help comes from God's people. No one else, just God's people. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful salvation. Thank you that it's open to all. May multitudes come. And Lord, help us to love you and serve you and do your will in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to thank you for joining us today, worshiping with us. Again, I want to, especially for the shortwave people, it's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Need to have your help. And then, of course, before we go, we always have to tell you that God loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how grievous your sin might be. God loves you. And he tells us in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that simply means that God loves you so much that he gave his son. That's how much he loves you. He proved his love by the gift on the cross, gave his own son. And then want you to know the Christian Worship Hour. We've been going now for over 40 years. The message is always the same. Come to Jesus. Jesus loves you. And we love you. And we have a prayer team of over 40 people praying for this ministry and praying for different requests that come in. And so the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I want you to know, friend, that I love you. And that's why I gave my whole life to the preaching of the gospel. 75 years, gave them all to Jesus. And I gave him so that I could tell people that I love you. And I want you to come to know Jesus. And I want to see you in heaven. So we love you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.